It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
All right.
All right. We are live. It is the Over-Under 985 podcast. We are in the tournament already. We're going to talk to Luke Pregondi at Prop Swap. I think maybe we could have a little more fun with Luke. Maybe actually like ask him about games instead of just Prop Swap stuff. But Dan, right now we have a game. Mount St. Mary's is up 30-20. They opened as 1.5 point. Well, actually, they're 1.5 point favorites now. They're up 10.5, Dan. The second half total is 69.5. And Texas Southern is getting +2. The way I've been looking at this game, it's been all Mount St. Mary's. Texas Southern at his lowest output of the year. Scoring. If you were going to take a second half bet here, anything you lean?
Honestly, I haven't had time to look at the line. I got in a little late here. Unfortunately, I was had other things to do in my other job, so I'm just kind of catching up late here. I was watching the game a little bit. What I can tell you is that Mount St. Mary's is defensively crushing them. So that is a legitimate problem. You know, if they want to score any sort of offense, I would stay off. I mean, what's the line here? 2.5? I lean Mount St. Mary's.
Yeah, the total 69.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a struggle for Texas Southern. And then the total here, I don't know, 70 points. I mean, they only scored 50 in the first, but that's what Mount St. Mary's does, right? It slows you down.
I mean, right now I'm seeing 68 as the total. There's no true advantage here, in my opinion. Maybe I lean Texas Southern -2 second or -2.5 second half. I think I'd stay off, to be honest with you. I don't think it's great.
All right. Moving on, we have coming up at 6 in about 20 minutes. We have Drake and Wichita State. Drake's been off for 2 weeks. They're without Roman Penn. No Roman Penn for Drake tonight.
Yes, but Hemphill is back. So, I mean, I think that's pretty fair trade-off. If you end up losing Penn and you end up getting Hemphill back, I'd say Hemphill is Drake's best player, in my opinion. So, I mean, listen, this line has flipped, right? We talked about them on the podcast last week. I told you I liked them at +2. I thought that they were the right side. Now we're looking at it at, you know, what, a little bit of a different line. I think we're looking at them as a favorite now. So, I mean, at this point, you've missed the Drake line, in my opinion. I think if you start trying to chase Drake -2, you're taking a bad line. I still lean that way, but, man, it's tough. Like, I don't really know how to totally feel about, you know, everything that's going on with that team right now. There's a lot of injuries. You were talking about Hemphill was out now. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on with Drake right now. I don't love where they're at. I think it playing them at two is chasing the line. They probably win. They probably cover. I just don't feel good about it.
Yeah, Wichita State being an 11 seed's weird. Again, I thought Wichita State backed into the tournament. That's at least what I saw. You know, new coach now in a tournament. I know the team has been there before, but you know, Drake's going to make his first appearance since 08. They certainly were deserving. The team they lost to was Loyola Chicago in the Mississippi Valley tournament. I've liked Drake all along. I don't love the Roman Penn situation here.
Where's the Roman Penn situation? Because I'm not seeing that. It may very well be true. I just haven't seen.
I just watched Joe Lenardi on ESPN on their website, but I'll see if I can get any more on that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm surprised that someone like Goodman hasn't covered it or something like that. See if I can find anything. But yeah, it is weird that is being underreported, because I do think that will make a big difference in the line of entry once that starts to trickle out there. So, I mean, if you like Drake, I think you should wait until maybe right before tip-off, assuming that this line will probably drop a little bit, in my opinion.
Hmm. And the total on this one
sitting at 140. I mean, ooh. Well, first off, now that we know that Drake is without one of their leading scorers, 140, 140 and a half, you know, it depends on, you know, where you're going to, wherever you're going to find it. So, I mean, you know, it's really up to you in regards to that. I don't love anything on the total in this one either, to be honest with you, Joe. I kind of lean the under, to be perfectly frank. I know that there's probably going to be a lot of money coming in on the over, opening up at 139. I do think that the under is probably the side, but again, I don't have a great feel for the total. I have to be honest, I don't have a great feel for most of the games tonight, surprisingly. I like Drake all week, but as I said, you know, now the news, Penn's not going to play. It feels like there's starting to be some concerns, for me in regards to everything that's going on there.
And that game kicks off in tips off in just about 20 minutes, 6:27. We're about to get back into action on the first game between, St. Mary's. How about this Norfolk State Appalachian State game? Obviously, Norfolk State went on a little run to finish the season off. They're 3.5-point dogs. Norfolk State, years ago, remember in 2012, they had Kyle O'Quinn. They went on that nice little run there as a 15 seed. So here they are. What's that, 9 years later?
I mean, they're. It's a cool story. I actually had them winning the conference tournament, which was, you know, so that was fun. I've done a little bit of research. To be honest with you, I hadn't done much on the Texas Southern Mount St. Mary's game. Unfortunately, there's just not enough hours in the day. When Appalachian State opened as a 16 seed, I was honestly pretty surprised, just because of the conference that they play in. I think that the conference, I think the Sun Belt is half decent when it comes to basketball. I think that, you know, it's not football worthy, but I think they're half decent. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't think the MEAC is really a comparable conference. I think that we're looking at two different levels of play there. Now, Norfolk State was much better than App State was, you know, in the Sun Belt. I mean, App State was, you know, a below 500 team in the conference. They were a good team outside, but let's not forget that record is misleading. They beat a lot of Division II teams that just, you know, have no value here. Not to mention Appalachian State got absolutely crushed early in the season by Tennessee, one of the two teams they actually did play that wasn't part of the Sun Belt, Auburn and Tennessee. And neither of those games were particularly close, especially the Tennessee game. They beat them by 41. So, I mean, it's just – kind of rough. I do think that Appalachian State is the side. Unfortunately, this opened as a pick 'em or a minus one, and now it's at 3.5. Again, another line I don't really feel like chasing. I do think that they're the right side. I'd rather wait to see if I can get something live, but I do lean Appalachian State tonight. In terms of the total, I think this is also another one that I think I'm going to stay away from. I got to be honest with you, despite watching the games and having fun and enjoying myself, I don't love the actual betting slate tonight. And I do think that there's going to be a large amount of people on Drake tonight, especially seeing how they've done in the, it did for them during the season. Because they were, as you talked about this morning, an incredible against the spread team.
Yep. And as you can see, it's still two. Appalachian State, Norfolk State getting plus 3.5. And then I know there's a couple, and then the big one tonight. So I've always said, don't go against Izzo and March, and I know they're favored. And I know that Michigan State had a really tough schedule, right? I mean, a lot of teams, nine teams made the tournament. UCLA has 5 scorers that score double figures. They weren't able to close out games. That was their issue. I just think they score more points than Michigan State. So I'm curious why Michigan State's 2. I think UCLA was a good team this year. They lost their last 4 games to 3 tournament teams.
I believe that Michigan State opened as a 1-point favorite. It's up to 2. You've seen some 2.5s. So I ended up actually grabbing a 3 for UCLA earlier in the week because it was just such a bad line. I couldn't not hop on it, hoping for a middle shot. I agree with you. It kind of goes against everything that we've kind of talked about in the past week or so, just in terms of the tournament, because I've been kind of talking about how Michigan State really got a raw deal and how Syracuse gets, this great deal. Meanwhile, I think that Syracuse has a chance to win. And I really think that there's a good chance that UCLA upsets Michigan State. Now, Michigan State has been the battle-tested team, plays in the Big Ten. They're coming off a win against Michigan not too long ago. That was when they had Livers. They've had some really, really good wins in the past few weeks. They beat Illinois. They beat Ohio State. Both of those wins at home. Same with Michigan, but still, really impressive victories. Meanwhile, UCLA going into the tournament lost 3 straight, then lost to Oregon State, who obviously won the Pac-12. But still, it was 4 straight losses for UCLA. I'm very interested to see how they come out, and very interested to see what the team does in terms of everything there. I lean under. I do. I think I'm going to pass on this one too, but I lean Michigan State and the under. This one's tough. I think that this is going to be a game that I'm live betting and maybe have a second half play on. I'm really interested to see how the first half looks for this team, especially Michigan State, coming off what I think is, a rough game against Maryland. I mean, they were bad. They were bad against Maryland. That game was not close. Everyone chased Michigan State in that line. They started off great early, and they weren't competitive the rest of the way. So I'm interested to see how they come out. I think it's a game I'd rather live bet than play, but I do think that Michigan State is probably the right side.
All right. Those are the games tonight. There are play-in games tomorrow. There's NIT. As well, which I don't know if you really want to touch on or not.
I do have a play in the NIT game tonight, which is why I think it's the only reason I want to touch on it. The SMU Boise State game to me is going to be one of the SMU Boise State game to me is going to be one of those games where I really like Boise State and I was high on them this season, but give me SMU plus 1.
Oh, he's ringing the bell.
Yeah, give me SMU plus 1 PP. I'm not going to go too deep into this game because it really doesn't matter. Ultimately, it's an NIT game, but I do think that SMU is the right side, and I think the line kind of tells you everything you really need to know about that game. I also like NC State tonight, but I think I'm going to pass on that too.
All right, we're going to be joined by Luke Pergandi of PropSwap. We're just waiting on him. Coming up in a minute here to give you an update. Right now, Texas Southern on a 6-0 run. They trail 30-26 with just under 18 minutes left. in the second half. So we'll certainly keep you posted on that. And then in about 10 minutes, we got another game, Drake and Wichita State. Some people are already asking questions, Dan. I did a bracket, Dan, and I'll share that with you coming up in a minute here. I do want to bring in our buddy Luke Pregondi. Luke Pregondi, he is a prop swap. I call him the prop father. He's got his swag going right now as well.
You know,
what's going on, Luke?
What's up, boys?
What's going on, dude?
Happy March Madness Eve here.
I know. We were kind of saying how it's a little different this year because we didn't have, you know, those day drinking games today. But it's a little different here. Luke, usually when we have you on, we talk a lot about prop swap, but I know you're a fan of basketball.
Yeah, whatever you guys want to talk about.
I mean, do you have any insight on, like right now, I'm watching this Texas Southern Mount St. Mary's game, but Drake, one of the best teams in the country this year against the spread, playing a Wichita State Shockers team. We got UCLA and Michigan State. Like, any thoughts on the opening games today?
Yeah, I don't – anyone that's in the Pac-12, I don't like. I just am so embarrassed on that conference. They were so bad at basketball this year. So I will go with Izzo and Big Green to win tonight. The Pac-12, what have they done to make us think that they can win basketball games in March? I'll go with the Green tonight. And I actually kind of like Wichita State. I know they've played a few less games than Drake, but I like Wichita State and see if they can pull off as a 2-point underdog upset.
I was definitely opposite. I got Drake +2 earlier in the week. I obviously didn't give it out as a play, but I thought that was the right side. Wichita really limped into the conference tournament. They felt sort of out of gas, a little bit fraudulent. They're a bad rebounding team. Hempel is back for Drake tonight. He missed the conference tournament, but now it appears that they're going to be without one of their other leading scorers tonight. By the way, Texas Southern on an 8-0 run right now. They have cut this game down to 2. We actually have a ball game right now. Drake is going to be without Roman Penn, who is one of their better guard players. By the way, they hit a 3. Texas Southern is up 1, so 11-0 run to start the second half. Not fun for Mount St. Mary's backers. I wanted to get your thoughts on the game, especially tonight, because – has there been action in terms of any sort of tickets for either of these two teams? I was surprised reading about how play-in teams have actually been extremely successful in the tournament the past few years, and they've actually gone on to make the round of 16. One play-in team has made the round of 16 each of the last eight years, except for with the exception of 2 times that obviously they did not. But 8 of 10 is pretty good for getting 3 straight wins.
Totally. We've seen a ton of action on UCLA. We've been selling UCLA tickets at like 150-1. We've been selling Michigan State tickets at 100-1. They're about 75-1 in a lot of books, about 100-1 in another book. Both teams are super popular. They got a shot. Both of those two teams, if they advance, they got a shot in the next round.
All right, Luke. So a while back, the last time we talked to you, there was a lot of Villanova tickets up for grabs.
Yep.
What's happening there? Are those been ripped up? Are those been smoked? What have people been doing with those tickets?
Yeah, people have been smoking them.
Rolling them up. Oh, man.
I mean, are they? They're still alive. Like, I'm not ready to completely write them off. Now, having said that, about a month and a half ago, before the Gillespie injury, people were selling their 40-1 Villanova tickets at like 5-1 odds. So, people, for the sellers, like, good job, taking advantage of prop swap and being able to get out early on a ticket that now is worth far less than when they were selling at odds of 5-1. Back in January. They're still alive. I think they probably advanced past Winthrop. I actually probably think they advanced past Purdue, a 9-loss Purdue team.
Wow.
But after that, I think Baylor takes care of business against Villanova.
Yeah, and as we're looking here,
Ahead, I certainly hope you're wrong there, Luke, because I have Purdue in my Final Four, bud.
So. A lot of people do. I'm not buying the 9-loss Purdue hype, and clearly not in the top echelon of the Big Ten. Like, definitely in that second group of teams in the Big Ten. But I just don't get the hype with Purdue. Like, they're fine. They're a good basketball team, but to put them in the Final Four and move past Baylor, I don't see that.
Well, I mean, the reason is you take a look at that bracket, and I mean, it's fucking brutal. I mean, if you you take a look at Baylor, I have not been impressed with Baylor the past few weeks. The loss to Kansas was, I thought, pretty bad. The loss to Oklahoma State was flat out fucking embarrassing. Up 8 with 5:30 left, you lose by 9. I mean, they weren't even in that game by the end of it. I just think that they feel like their defense has badly regressed. Ken Pom, who basically predicts teams as the actual teams who could win the tournament, doesn't even have Baylor as one of his 20 teams that could win this year because they've fallen so far defensively. So I'm looking for a team to come out of that bracket. I don't think that Villanova – I think Villanova is fucked. I mean, they don't – no Gillespie. Now we're hearing that Justin Moore might not play either. If Moore doesn't play, what are they going to do with the point guard position? The only reason I'm going with Purdue is just – it's more of just a what the hell am I supposed to do in this part of the bracket. Like, I almost thought about putting, North Carolina. Ohio State is no defense. Yeah. Arkansas, yeah, they're an SEC team, and you kind of talked about the Pac-12. I kind of feel the same way about the SEC. I'm looking here. I'm like, I just don't know who the fuck I got to put in. That's why I'm going with Purdue. Yeah. And I think that's why a lot of people are there too.
Yeah, it's a great point. Clearly the worst bracket, in my opinion. That's a super fair point. I get that argument. Yeah, I mean, look, is Villanova or Purdue, in my opinion, a powerhouse? No. I hear you on the Baylor weakness after their break from COVID. They're just such good shooters, and they did play really good defense in the first half of the season. Totally true. They have not played as fierce of defense in the second half. I just don't think that Purdue can be able to defend those guards.
Well, I mean, I think that if UNC gets by Wisconsin, which I do expect them to do, UNC's bigs are going to give Baylor just a hard fucking time, because I don't know how Baylor's going to defend them. That's where Baylor's been weak in the past few weeks, and that's exactly where I'm looking at for a potential upset for Baylor, because I do think if Baylor beats UNC, then Baylor's making moves, because Purdue, but I don't think Purdue could beat them either. So
that's a good point.
Joe,
I was just going to say, Luke, as you can tell, this is our podcast. Parental advisory is permitted here. We say whatever we want. So feel free. We can't do it on the radio, unfortunately. So this gives us the space to do it for a little bit. But
This is HBO.
Oh, exactly. So I have the Prop Swap website up. Some recently sold tickets. Michigan.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
So obviously Michigan's. I think they're loaded. Like, I think that they're well coached, but they've had some hiccups. I mean, that Michigan State game, that was a hiccup. The Illinois game, like, I don't even know what to think of, but a recently sold ticket sold for 15 grand, dude. Yeah. The more I look at this, they have a legit shot here. Like, I know Gonzaga is the darling, and I hate to go square. Like, I have Gonzaga going to the final. But I hate to go square, but that's a good ticket right there. You mentioned Baylor's another team. I see Loyola Chicago. I mean, that's a haul right there, right? 105,000. What other stuff have you seen out there? And again, I see your feature deals right now of Gonzaga. And obviously you hate USC, and there is a Michigan ticket here. But what else has been, I guess, getting a lot of the looks here on PropSwap?
Yeah, that Michigan sale, that was incredible. Original bet amount was $800 at odds of 125-1 in December. Like, this isn't like it happened last June. This was in December that he got 125-1. Turns $800 into 15 grand, and they haven't played a game. So that's, as far as I'm aware, no other website allows you to do that. So just great, great transaction. The buyer, who got plus 572, lives in Vegas, has been kicked out of a ton of sports books. He William Hill is 5-1, so he still beat William Hill. You can find Michigan at like 7-1 in some places offshore. So he's like, look, I can use it legally. Obviously, this ticket's from a casino in Las Vegas. I have zero credit risk whatsoever. It's paying the 100 G's no matter what. I have a little bit of credit risk if you bet offshore. So, yeah, awesome, awesome sale on that one. But to your point, you know, Ohio State, we have 125-1 Ohio State ticket. He's got it posted for new odds of about 18-1. That would also pay $100,000. You know, they, like we just talked about, that bracket sucks. So would it surprise me if Ohio State came out of that? No, it would not surprise me if Ohio State was the final four participant out of that South bracket. So that ticket's alive. It would pay 100 G's. If you like Ohio State, go submit a bid. I know that seller is listening to offers. So absolute monster of a ticket. It will cost you it would cost you about $4,000, I believe. So it's worth taking a look just because of that draw. Do I think Ohio State is dominant? I don't, but because of that bracket, like we just discussed, they're alive.
Hey, look, I just want to ask you real quick. So to us, right, the bordering states of – I don't want to get into a legislative thing, but but our bordering states crush. New Hampshire, Rhode Island, now Connecticut. Have you seen tickets come in from New Hampshire at all? And it's funny because we have places that you can go and mobile bet in New Hampshire, which is 25 minutes away from us in Boston. But there's other sides of New Hampshire where you can actually go and get a ticket. Have you seen any tickets come in from, like, New Hampshire or New England sent in?
Yeah, Rhode Island, absolutely, all the time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, both New Hampshire and Rhode Island. We see a ton of tickets posted from. Yeah, obviously, DraftKings runs the New Hampshire Sportsbook, so they post good numbers. And then we've seen a bunch of different tickets from, I forget the names of the casinos in Rhode Island, but they're good numbers. Like, typically, you know, from states that don't have a huge selection of sportsbooks, like New Jersey or Nevada do, there's every sportsbook in America operates in those two states. You'll see really good numbers on futures. But yeah, we've seen really good numbers posted from both New Hampshire and Rhode Island. People are taking advantage. I mean, this is the time to be. If you want to sell tickets on PropStop and make some cash, like, this is the month to do it. This is by far our highest volume month.
That's great to hear, because Twin River, obviously in Rhode Island, a lot of people go there. Our listeners have asked that question, so I figured this is a good spot to do that, because people like the actual ticket. Some people don't like betting on mobile. So, again, you know, that was something that was brought up this week. I'm glad to hear that you're getting a lot of New England traction on those tickets. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if you're betting on mobile, like, be prepared to get offered really bad cash out prices. Right? So that Michigan ticket that sold at plus 572 for 15 G's, I mean, the cash out price on that is probably going to be $5,000 tops. You know, like, one third of what it sold for on PropSwap. It's just a different business model. You're selling it back to the casino versus selling your bet to another individual. Like, of course, the individuals are going to pay way higher prices than will a casino.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So, you guys were talking about Michigan earlier. Obviously, you just sold an incredibly valuable and obviously a nice Michigan ticket. Tell me about your Michigan action, because I'm surprised that you're still getting a lot of Michigan action, especially without Livers out. I mean, Michigan without him, you know, I thought they struggled. I thought they looked like a completely different team. I'm very concerned as someone who holds a very nice Michigan ticket in the 20-1 range. I'm very concerned about my ticket. Obviously, I can't sell it on PropSwap because it was with Joey Bag of Money on the corner. But I am very concerned about it. Otherwise, my ticket would be on PropSwap yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, Dan. I'm pretty bearish on Michigan. I wouldn't be shocked if LSU or the Bonnies beat them in the second round. I think that's a possibility. That matchup, LSU St. Bonaventure, is my most difficult first round matchup. I've thrown my hands up. I'm not sure who wins that. If I flip a coin 100 times, I think LSU probably wins it 52 times. But just a really, really good matchup. I think both could have got seated a little bit higher if the committee redid this. So I hear you. I think that's ripe for an upset. I think Florida State could beat Michigan if they meet in the Sweet 16. So I hear you. I in my opinion on that transaction, obviously we always have a buyer and a seller on each side. I thought the seller won that Michigan transaction for 15 grand.
Yeah, me too. Me too, because I want out of all my Michigan liability without a doubt. So, yeah, no, not surprised. Luke, I know it's March, and obviously pretty everything's madness right now, but I have to ask you a question because right now we're in Celtics land, and the Celtics are sucking ass, and it's hard to watch them certain nights. I want to know what's going on in the NBA and what your action's like in the NBA, especially on a team like Brooklyn, especially on a team like the Lakers who have, you know, an Anthony Davis injury. And I don't want to get too deep into the NBA, but I'm just, I'm very interested to hear what you guys have on that stuff right now, or even the MVP race
look at this one. I saw this on Twitter today, Trent. Jimmy Butler MVP is a real thing. You could buy this thing for $55. If it hits, you win $5,000.
Yeah.
Like this is real. James Harden, it's real. And Dan mentioned it. Joel Embiid's hurt. Like LeBron, who knows? Again, we don't know what's going to happen with the Lakers and Anthony Davis. There's some money to be made in these tickets, right? And Damian Lillard's always in the mix here as well.
Yeah, totally. It's a great point, Joe. James Harden's the biggest mover over the past month. He went from 40-1 to 10-1. Has Harden. Luka's a big mover. Luka was like 50-1 before the All-Star break. He's now at 15-1. Yep. Steph's a big mover too. Like pretty much because of the Joel Embiid injury, it seems like all of those guys just got a huge boost back into reality. Steph's down to 13-1 at FanDuel. Those are all alive. The NBA MVP race is going to be really interesting. LeBron is still the favorite. So you're going to have a little bit of injury risk, but you know, we did a video about this on Props Ops Twitter about a month ago, like halfway through the NFL season, Russell Wilson was a lock to win MVP, absolute lock. No questions asked, like give the trophy to Russell Wilson. And then he had a bad second half. Like it happens all the time. Aaron Rodgers just absolutely dominated the regular season NFL. Obviously he lost to Tampa in the playoffs, but it happens all the time where a player just has a poor second half. Is LeBron 36 now?
Yeah.
I think LeBron 36, like, you know, to make a wager that he's going to have a poor second half, and to your point, to cash a Jimmy Butler ticket for 5 G's, like, that sounds fun to me.
Yeah, I mean, especially when, you know, once Davis does come back, I think you're gonna end up seeing LeBron sit a few of these games. I mean, they're gonna rest him for the playoffs, and I think that's exactly what, you know, there's gonna be a knee injury or a leg injury, one of those things where they're gonna sit him for 4 or 5 games and kind of let him catch his breath a little bit because he's been playing a lot of minutes, keeping the Lakers even afloat in the playoffs. So that's been interesting.
Hey Dan, look at this Boston parlay, man. Bruins Celtics, everybody get in on it, baby.
I think I'll pass on that ticket. Sorry, Luke. You won't be getting my business on that ticket.
It's fine. Well,
I'm telling you, there's someone out there, Luke, who's like, oh my god, am I about, you know?
Yeah,
just right here, baby. Hit that button, baby.
those cross-board parlays have been blowing up on PropSwap. It is crazy how popular those have became. I think because in Nevada for 50 years, they didn't do cross-board parlays. You could not parlay NFL champion with NHL champion or Celtics with Bruins, NHL with NBA. Like they just didn't offer it. So it's just fun. It's like it's fun to throw $30 down or $50 down. And obviously in Boston, it's unfortunately your Celtics have sucked. But you could do a what's your guys' thoughts on the Pats? Would you move them after this week? Are they the same odds after this week?
It's moved. I guess it's at some places. I think the AFC East might be live. I think it's 350 right now. But and hey, Buffalo made a move today, right? Mitch Trubisky, baby.
Trubisky today.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I did not do that.
Yep, and here you go. Here's your ticket. Patriots, right now, You can't get this. You can't get these odds anywhere. $399
$400
to get you $43.99
Yeah, I would submit a bid on that one. People don't use that bidding feature enough.
Like, I certainly would not buy a 10-to-1 ticket because there's a bunch of 30-to-1s out there. But I would definitely submit a bid on that. That's not a bad idea.
Boom!
These sellers will take anything to get off some of these tickets. Like, I highly encourage people to take advantage of the bid. We sold a Loyola Chicago ticket at odds of 180-to-1 about 10 days ago. DraftKings has Loyola Chicago at 40-to-1 odds.
Wow.
And that was off of a bid. Wow. The seller had the ticket posted for 1,000 and the guy submitted a bid for 500 and the seller accepted. 180-to-1 odds in Loyola Chicago is nuts. Like, that is that's 400% cheaper than what DraftKings is offering. Like, makes no sense, that number.
And, especially with how high KenPom rates Loyola Chicago. I actually had Georgia Tech winning that game until unfortunately they got hit with the injury bug. But I do think that Loyola is one of those teams where they fit all the necessary criteria to win it all. Unfortunately, comparatively to Baylor, who again does not. So I'm big anti Baylor right now. So just gonna keep saying that.
and Luke, real quick, limited time offer, earn a free deposit bonus up to $100. Just use this little free 100 here, redeem it, boom. Yeah. And a deposit bonus up to $100.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a Baylor ticket right now at odds, I believe it's of 8-to-1. Plus 640 is odds of Baylor. So if you use that deposit bonus, you'd be getting odds. So you double that, you'd get odds of 12.8-to-1 on Baylor. Like, that is, yeah. I know Dan doesn't like Baylor, but like to get
even I'm thinking about that
12.8-to-1. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, people just don't do that math in their head when we say, here's, you know, we'll match up to $100, whatever you put in. Like, that's the math you should be doing. Like, whatever the odds are posted at, multiply it by 2, and that's the odds that you're going to get. So, we have a Baylor ticket of plus 640. Use our deposit bonus of $100. If you're getting Baylor at 12.8-to-1 as a 1 seed, I mean.
So Luke, what are you doing all day? Like, I know you're a sports fan. Are you on the phone? Like, you know, doing sales? Are you doing like marketing stuff? Like, what are you trying to find tickets? Like, what are you doing all day, man?
I mean, today it's been all radio appearances. Like, you know, obviously, you guys, I just came from, I live in Atlantic City, went to two different casinos to just talk about what we're doing at Prop Flop. But no, I mean, when that $15,000 sale went through, like, I had to talk to the seller and I talked to the buyer. Now, $70 tickets that are on the website, I'm obviously not being the middleman for $70 tickets, but for that ticket, it was posted at 18 G's, and we sent an email to the seller saying, hey, would you take 15 G's? Didn't respond, and I followed up, and we talked about it. I'm like, look, man, like, you're selling this at plus 572. Like, there are sportsbooks out there that have 7-to-1. Like, you're getting a great deal right now. And he accepted.
Yep. That's great, man. And, Drew, and I'm not, again, I'm not kissing your ass because you're here, but, you know, we have the ads. When we do the golf stuff, even 2 weeks ago when people were buying Rory tickets, and I even said it, Dan, I thought Rory was going to come back and win. He didn't. But people were buying those. And we were on that day being like, hey, I'm going to jump on these Rory tickets. So it's working here in Boston. I'm not just pumping your tires because, you're affiliated with us. We love Prop Swap, man. We love what it's doing. I think it's all going to blow up here. We're all hoping that here in Massachusetts it blows up. But this thing's – you're Mr. Worldwide now, man, you know?
We've come a long way from setting up at a Buffalo Wild Wings in Las Vegas, Nevada.
I just saw a Buffalo Wild Wings commercial just now, and I'm like, think about how far you've come.
Yeah, decent chicken wings, but when you have them for the 30th time, they're not as decent.
yeah. So what do you got for a Final Four?
That's a great question. I don't fill up my bracket completely until the playing games are done. So I'll be doing that about 1 in the morning tonight once the Michigan State UCLA game comes in. But I, contrary to Dan, I like Baylor in the championship. I might have more talk with Gonzaga coming in, but I like Texas Tech a lot.
Ooh,
I really like Texas
Tech. I see them struggle. They struggle. They're good. They're a good team, but man, when they go in droughts,
I know they can't get cold. I have Texas Tech playing Baylor to go to the Final Four. So
wow,
we'll see who wins that. That's my long shot. I do like Florida State to beat Michigan.
Yep.
So my two long shots, relative long shots, Florida State's a four seed. I like Florida State to beat Michigan, and I have Bama going to the Final Four. So Gonzaga, Bama, Baylor, and Illinois. So a lot of chalk, but Florida State is a four. And again, I think Texas Tech has a six as a chance to beat Baylor. Texas Tech, people forget, like, our most recent national championship, Texas Tech went to overtime.
Yep.
Right, against Virginia. Yep. Like, they're a great team. Chris Beard's a really good defensive coach. To Joe's point, they can't get cold, but a lot of teams get cold.
McClung, that's my guy. Hit a big hit a big three for me earlier this year, and I've been riding him since.
Yeah.
Well, I hope that Bama gets to the Final Four, because again, I don't have a ticket, but Joey Bag of Money. Joe knows this. I was very big on Bama before the season. I have a few 90-1 tickets on Alabama. Yeah. So that will be, I would be very pleased if they get past UConn and Texas and into the Final Four. They have a hell of a road, but I'm praying yeah, over here.
No, I like that road a lot. I think though, I'm not that afraid of Texas. I think Shaka Smart's kind of been up and down since he left. I'm with you, Dan. I like that ticket a lot. I think Bama will make work of that Eastern bracket.
And we got Texas. I'm very high on Texas. So we'll see. We'll see what happens here. And of course, we got 43-41 Texas Southern right now. I know that's a 1-point spread, so people might be interested in this one. The rest of the way, Luke, we're going to talk to you on the radio, I believe, next couple of weeks here. This is a big time of year, man. Everyone's betting. We've been preaching it to everyone to build their bankroll and do it smart. And of course, it's smart. The smartest ways to do it legally, right? On PropSwap. Yep. So,
yeah.
So, Luke, appreciate your time, man. When you're in Boston, we got to hang out. And I love the PropSwap swag. So, if you got anything in bankroll boys sizes, get a hat. Send them our way. We'll
of course. You want, we have this in gray or black? You want gray or black?
Yeah, I'll go black. Maybe a little switch it up. Gray and black. We'll bet over it, Dan.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, you guys are fantastic.
All right. Well, see you later. Go enjoy the games, but we'll catch up with you next week, man.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, man. That's Luke Brigandi. That was fun. We never get to hang out. Like, so, you know, let's see how it goes here. All right, Dan. I
know. And, of course, it's probably not the week to do it, but, you know, whatever. Like, Luke's the man. So, all right, I think it's time to talk about Friday's games, Joe.
Let's do it. What time do the games start tomorrow? Noon.
12. I'm going over my buddy's place early. He's taking half a day. I'm taking the day. We have steaks lined up all day, dude. I could not be more fucking excited for this if I told you. I mean, seriously, these are the kind of days. Like, it sucks that I'm not in Vegas, and, you know, it sucks I'm not doing that this year, but I've got a plan. I'm ready. You know, let's start with the early games, Joe. Let's start there.
I got Florida as a pick 'em. Ring the bell. Ooh. And now, Dan, I know you don't like this. And we even previewed this, and I said, ooh, Florida did not play well. Now, they did beat Kentucky, but everybody beat Kentucky. I love man. I love what he does here. That loss to Tennessee was not good. Not good whatsoever. They dropped three of their last four games. And Virginia Tech, hell of a coach. They had a really good year, but they had so many games in the final month of the year canceled because of COVID. So, like, are they? Yeah. Does that mean they're fresh? Like, that's the thing for me is I can't tell. For me, I'm going to go with Florida because they have better guard play.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell if they're going to be fresh or rusty, and that's really unfortunate. The problem. The other thing is, you know, ACC team, but I take a look at Florida and say, you know, they were an average at best SEC team. I mean, you know, if you look at the SEC and say, well, there were really four teams in there, you know, I think Florida's overseeded at seven, or you know, compared to LSU at nine. To me, that was another seeding mishap. Didn't really make much sense to me. So, you know, I guess I get the, you know, the full record, but still LSU 18-9. I thought they were the better team, made it further in the SEC tournament. So that was a little concerning. I like Va Tech here, Joe. I do. I think that this is going to be one of those 10 seeds that rolls. I don't love it. I'm not going to play it, but I do lean Va Tech. I understand the love for Florida. I do. And I get the guard play. It's just, I think Va Tech is the better team. I know Florida Open is a 1-point favorite. This is going to be one I'm looking potentially at on the second half tomorrow. I'm not going to play it right now, but I do like that side. I do like the Va Tech side.
Oh, doggies, babe. Dan, I, all right. So I just want to let you know, I put in a little second halfer on Texas Southern. So I might go a little second half crazy. I'm going to be careful.
No, be Joe from a couple tournaments ago. If you guys don't know, you guys weren't following us back then. Joe, I was out in Vegas. I think it was 2 years ago. Joe made a bet on every single game at the first round, and it did not go well.
I have a story. I had North Carolina. They were winning by 30 or something, and they needed to win by like 28. I left. They were up 37 or 36. I left my building in Cambridge, got into my car, waited through the traffic, got out of the tunnel so I could actually get service, and I lost by 1 point. It was like just like that, dude. It was one of them days. So, yeah, no, don't do it.
All right, let's move on to the 12:45 game, Colgate, Arkansas.
So, dude, real quick. Who's the guy, the Sharpie guy? Jay Wright? No, not Jay Wright.
Seth Davis?
He likes Colgate outright over Arkansas tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't fucking get that. I don't get that. We've talked about it so much. Colgate has played five fucking teams. Five. And none of the teams qualify is even remotely good. Now, I know they were 14-1, and that's fun. Their best win was against Army, dude. I mean, really, like their best win was Army on the road. Army was a 12-9 team, 7-7 overall. Like they weren't exactly like a world beater. They did beat Buffalo. They got beat by Florida pretty badly early on. They just like I guess you can look at Army and say, yeah, you know, not bad, not terrible. I don't know. Like they had the nice win versus Buffalo. I felt Buffalo was really bad early on in the season. I'm really not impressed with Colgate. I think that I got to tell you, I disagree with this one wholeheartedly. I know everyone really likes Colgate here. Give me Bama -8.5 PP. Or sorry, Arkansas -8.5 PP. Sorry, not Bama.
So I also took Arkansas as well. I've watched Colgate play. They can shoot, no doubt. They haven't. This is SEC athletic play. You know what I mean? Like this is Arkansas averaged like 80 points. They averaged like 80 points a game this year or something.
Yeah, and Colgate's given up 70 points in 7 of their 15 games. They can't fucking defend. I think this is the worst possible matchable for Colgate out of the three seeds. Like you take a look around at all three seeds. You say, which one could Colgate really have an opportunity with? I think Arkansas is the worst opportunity for them. I know Arkansas lost to LSU, but what did Arkansas do in that game? They scored points. Colgate's going to score, and everyone's going to look at the over, and I think that that's definitely a possibility. But, man, betting Colgate, this is one of the dogs I know that everyone's very high on. I'm staying the fuck away from the dog in this game. I like Arkansas. Yeah. I like Arkansas big. I think they're going to run Colgate out of the building.
I just want to say Colgate was really good last year. Obviously, the pandemic really halted their season, and then they came back loaded this year. That's a damn good small school. And they're getting a lot of love. We'll see tomorrow, right? But I just think Arkansas, there, man, you know, in the SEC, what did they go? What did they go on, like a 19-0 runner? I think they were like 17-0 or something to start the year. They were undefeated early on, and then, you know, ended up facing their schedule. But moving on, I mean, do you want to lay the chalk on Illinois? Because I don't think Illinois needs to win by 25 to be the convincing number one seed. For me, it's stay healthy, right? Make like get the ball inside the cook burn. Let you know, don't get Dunsumu hurt. Play defense, rebound. And Drexel will tank second half. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I got on Drexel early on when they were 24.5 early on last week, or early on this week, I should say. I don't love it, but I think that Illinois laying 22.5 is quite a bit. That being said, I think this is going to be an under game. This is the type of game where Illinois, in my opinion, should shut them down defensively. You know, this is the kind of game that's you're exactly looking that way. You're looking for, you know, the defensive game from Illinois shutting down Drexel. And I don't think that, especially after, you know, the Big Ten tournament, I wonder, you know, especially if this is silly, right? It's going to be, I assume it's going to get silly. I can't imagine they're going to play Coughburn and Dunsumu in these games where,
yeah,
you know, where it, you know, they're up by 30. I cannot imagine that they're going to risk injury to those guys early. I can absolutely see Drexel playing themselves back into this game late. This is not a game that I'm looking to lay the points on with the favorite. I'm not. And I think that it's dangerous if you do. Not that, you know, not that Illinois is in, you know, in danger of losing this game, because they're not. I just think Drexel is an underrated 12-7 team. They were really good in the conference tournament. I really think that this is going to be a game that Drexel really has a chance to cover here.
Yeah, I know that Drexel year's best. You know, they had success in these type of tournaments, but dude, they beat Northeastern, they beat Charleston, they beat Elon. Like, you're not, now you're going to play Illinois. Sorry, bro. It's going to be a tough day. Yeah. And listen, the spread was 154 against Iowa. It's 144 here. You might be right on that. Luke loved Texas Tech, Dan. You know, I like Utah State going into that San Diego State Mountain West Championship. They fell apart. They died. Literally died on the court.
Yep.
Utah State's still playing better basketball than Texas Tech right now. The spread's 4. That's the one thing why I want to give Utah State a shot here. I think in the end, Texas Tech's just too much, but I want to give Utah State a shot here. It's just, I have win in advance, and that's Texas Tech for me here.
Yeah, I haven't decided to lay it yet, but I do think I'm going to consider laying the number with Texas Tech. I think that they're too good. Again, if they're not a Big 12 team in this year, what are we looking at record-wise? Because they took care of everyone in the Big 12 that they were supposed to, right? I mean, they didn't have, like, a really bad loss. I mean, their losses this year were Houston, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Baylor, West Virginia, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Baylor, Texas. Like, you know, we're not talking about like them losing to these terrible these terrible teams, or, you know, even having like a bad game against like a Kansas State and Oklahoma, like, who really faded down the stretch. Like, they won the games they were supposed to. And I just, as much as I do like the Mountain West, and I think that Utah State is a talented team, I thought they were really good versus Colorado State, who I thought was a really good team. I'm surprised that Utah State made the tournament, honestly. I'm surprised they made it here. You know,
BYU and San Diego State were the darlings of that conference, right?
Right.
And yeah, for them to get a third team in.
Well, no, BYU is not in there.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. Sorry.
You're talking. Yeah, it's San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise State, and Utah State. Those were the competitive teams. San Diego State was the competitive one. I like what the Aggies have done. I didn't think they deserved to make the tournament over maybe a Louisville, but they did. I just think that Texas Tech wins. Texas Tech takes care of business against teams they should. they should take care of business versus the Aggies here. I don't love it, but yeah, I think I'm laying the four here ultimately is what I'm going to do. And, you know, people have been pounding Utah State. This, well, Texas Tech opened at 5.5. It got up to 6.5, dropped all the way down to 4.5. Now it's at 4. I would not be shocked if we see this at 3.5 by tomorrow. So I'm going to wait on this and see where the line goes. But yeah, Texas Tech to me is the side I'm playing here.
All right, Hartford, do you want to get into them, your boys? I know we got that Ohio State game before here, but
yeah.
Can Hartford hang on to 26 or no?
No, they straight up can't. Listen, it was awesome for me to see them get in the tournament. It was a fun story.
UMass Lowell, baby.
I mean, UMass Lowell sucks. I'm so happy they didn't fucking get in, all the stupid UMass Lowell kids. I mean, sorry if you listen to the podcast. It's just like
I listen. I had to go the other way, Dan. I get it.
Listen, I get it. I'm not mad about it. Like, you know, it worked out for me. Hartford's not going to stick. Baylor shoots the shit out of the ball. And while they aren't good defensively, it's not exactly like Hartford is an offensive stalwart. The spread's going the other way. It got up to 27. It's at 25.5 now. I think I'd lay the number with Baylor. I know, again, being very square, but I think I'd lay it with Baylor. I'm not going to. But I do look at the under 140 and the over 140, excuse me. And I do think Baylor is going to run up the score on them. And I do think that Baylor is the side here.
All right. Oral Roberts, Ohio State. If you look at it from afar, Ohio State's one of the top scoring teams in the country in the Big Ten with an inside outside game. But they just went through, and we talked about it last week. If they could have gone through Iowa and Illinois, they went through Iowa, right?
Yep.
They couldn't get through Illinois, but they should have. They forced that overtime and then eventually gave out. But people don't get it. Oral Roberts, a good team. They have two of the top scorers in the country. They average 82 points per game, dude. Ohio State averages 77. And again, the backcourt for Oral Roberts is their strength. Rest is the issue for Ohio State here after going – two of their guards are hurt. One of them's dealing with a jaw injury. I think it's a bad spot for Ohio State. Like, they're the better team, clearly. And, like, I love what Washington can do and what the big guy can do in the middle, right? But I just think it's a bad spot, and I don't know if they cover the number.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on the pod earlier in the week. If there's a two seed that I am concerned about losing, it's Ohio State. I mean, really, it's they should win. You know, I'm not saying that they're going to lose, but if you're looking for a potential two seed upset in this tournament, I think it's Ohio State because, first off, I think Oral Roberts got fucked here. I just straight up they got a bad draw. I just don't think that, you know, they're. Oral Roberts is a really good three-point shooting team. I think they're 11th in the country in three-point shooting efficiency. 11th in the country in three-point percentage. I think that people are surprisingly playing the under in this game when I'm looking at over. In fact, give me the over 156. Ohio State. Oral Roberts. To me, this is a very telltale sign. Ohio State doesn't play defense. They have very, you know, very bad defense.
They're not going to play defense in this game. You're right. No. They're tired, dude. They need rest.
Kyle Young, we don't know the status of him. They're two of the top 15 top 20 free throw shooting teams in the country. The one thing about Oral that, you know, is going to be a struggle with them, they're undersized. They're a smaller team. Ohio State has some size on them. So I do think that that's going to be an issue at times. But Ohio State, we've seen in the past, they struggle closing out games. I'm not going to lock in the 16. I think that I don't want to have too many plays tomorrow. But, yeah, that would be the way that I'd be looking in this game, absolutely, is the 16 and the over. I think Oral, underseeded as a 15, I think this game, I think they're going to keep it close. I do.
All right, moving on. Georgia Tech, without one of their best players, takes Sister Jean will be in attendance, everybody. -2. Son of a bitch. I didn't want to do it to you, Dan, but
it's not minus two. It's minus 5.5 now.
Where do you see that? Wow.
Yeah, it's everywhere. Yeah, I mean, they, you know, it's the line has absolutely ballooned since Georgia Tech has left.
Georgia Tech is they've been dealing with fucking COVID issues for like a week, and obviously they lose one of their biggest, you know, best players, so it's not a good spot. And they just, it's kind of like they won the ACC; it was a surprise, and like, all right, you had a good season. You know,
I mean, it does sort of feel that way. I mean, we talked about it. I think they got fucked in the seeding. They should have been the 7 instead of Clemson. We should be talking about Georgia Tech. You know, Rutgers is the matchup, and Clemson, Loyola. I think Loyola got screwed in the seeding too. So to be honest, it'd just be consistent there.
It's Moses Wright that's missing, right?
Yes,
Moses Wright. Yeah.
I mean, he's their best player. You know, he's
18 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks a game.
Shoots 41.5% from three, so almost 42% from three. And like, you know, he's not a great free throw shooter, but other than that, he's dynamic for them. And it's very unfortunate, you know. But if you're chasing Loyola and you're chasing the 5.5, like, I can't help you, man. I think you're chasing lines there. The total is at 124.5 right now, Joe. I mean, this is a line I think I'm going under. Like, you want to talk about a game where it's going to be a grinded out game where no one scores. This would be that game. So you want to look for, you know, your classic first half under. This would be the game I'm looking first half under tomorrow. One of the games I'm looking first half under on. I just, there's no way that I'm playing, this game. No way.
All right, Tennessee takes on the 12 seed, Dan, Oregon. Like, come on now. Oregon State goes on the run, and now they're a 12 seed playing a 5 seed. This is a little weird, right? No?
I mean, this line, by the way, this betting line has bounced all over the fucking place this week. It opened at 8.5, or sorry, opened at 9.5. Drop down to, to 8. Now it's back. You got down to 7 at one point. Now it's back at 8.5. I think what happened was you saw some early sharp money come in on Oregon State, and then the buyback came in looking for a middle. This is absolutely not a team that I'm looking to bet.
But that's the thing with. Who wants to play Oregon State right now? Hey, one thing I wanted to mention was Tennessee. Victor Bailey played at Oregon and then transferred to Tennessee. So a little Oregon State battle there.
Yeah, I think Oregon State's the media darling right now. Big Pac-12 tournament win, overrated conference in my opinion. Don't really love the team. I lean Tennessee. I was hoping to get a better number. I was hoping to get this at, honestly, at like 6 and looking for a middle in that area. Cause I do think Tennessee is going to cover this game, but it's a pass for me. I know a lot of people are on the under, the sharps at the under early on, but I think at 131, the total is pretty much spot on. I think this is a game. I think I'm just going to completely pass on in general, unless I'm looking maybe Tennessee live.
All right, dude. Look, keeping my eyes on this game right now. Texas Southern has a 55-51 lead, under a minute to go. So let's keep on rocking and rolling here. Let's get into Oklahoma State. Everyone loves Oklahoma State, the media darling. Cade Cunningham's going to be the number one pick. They were the surprise of the Big 12 this year. They've been exciting. No doubt they've been a good team. They're 7.5-point favorites. Right now, they opened at 9, 7.5. Liberty. Liberty's won 10, and I don't know how many in a row. I got 10 right here. I mean, Oklahoma State's going to get a lot of love, Dan. Are the Flames not getting any love here in Liberty? Remember what happened with Coastal Carolina in football?
I do. 12 straight wins for this Liberty Flames team. Having a hell of a year, and feels like every sport, huh? Ridiculous. By the way, Texas Southern just fouled shooting a 3. That's going to wrap up the game for Texas Southern pretty much.
Hit free throws, though.
I mean, yeah, barring something ridiculous still. They're up by 4, 34 seconds left, and you know, now they're up by 5. So, yeah. Oklahoma State, listen, we've talked about them. I've talked about Oklahoma State to death. They have killed me, you know, this year. And so I'm not touching this game, not touching it. But honestly, open at 9.5. It's down to 7.5. The majority of the bets and the money are coming on Oklahoma State. You know where the sharps are on with Liberty. I do think that Liberty, and wow, I just my circuit just went out there. Jeez, I do think unfortunately just lost my TV, so I'm gonna be without TV for the remainder of the pod. I do think that Liberty is the side at 9.5, 7.5. I think you're chasing. I'm gonna lean of Liberty at 7.5. I don't love it. I also think this is going to be a super defensive game. Like, one thing Oklahoma State does is, like, they have very strong, defense. So, you know, that is the one thing that scares me a little bit about them. When it comes to a team like Liberty, is that they can really shut a team like Liberty down. And whatever. McGee is one of the best point guards in basketball. Liberty's a really, really good defensive rebounding team. They're going to slow the tempo down, which is fine. And again, as you talked about, the market is in love with Oklahoma State right now. I jumped on Liberty plus 9.5. We talked about it during the podcast on Monday. I think I'm going to keep my Liberty 9.5 and just roll with that instead of trying to look for a middle shot there. I do lean them even at 7.5. I think that this is going to be a 4 or 5 point game, one of those close first round games that Oklahoma escapes with by the skin of their teeth.
One thing people haven't mentioned is Oklahoma State have 3 starting freshmen. Like, this is, I know they're playing Liberty, but it's the tournament freshmen. Like, I don't know, something I would just keep my eyes on. Colorado State, Buffalo lucky to get here, Dan. I'm going to be honest. When you don't win your conference, but you still make it, that's good. But
that's the NIT, Joe. We go into the NIT.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Sorry. Oh my god.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the NIT. Yeah, we're not. I think we can skip the Saturday NIT games. No, the next game on the docket
is that fucking Wisconsin game, right?
Is the Wisconsin North Carolina game? Yep.
All right. We talked at this one. I think it's North Carolina. I think they scored too many points. I've gone back and forth on this one. I think it's North Carolina, Dan.
So, I mean, to me, I mean, they're probably going to get blown out. To me, this is North Carolina, no doubt. Give me UNC PP minus 1.5 here. They're a matchup nightmare for Wisconsin. Just the way that they look. They're a matchup nightmare. The lack of size for Whiskey versus a massive amount of size for UNC. UNC is a top 25 scoring rate. Whiskey's in the bottom 85. Again, I think that that's super important just in terms of understanding of how, you know, these teams are going to play. UNC is going to run up the score on them, and Wisconsin, I'm not sure, is going to be able to stick with them offensively. Especially if Wisconsin has to play in their half court set, I'm very, very worried about Wisconsin. I like UNC. I talked about them potentially beating Baylor. I have them winning this game, and I have them winning it big. So, let's roll UNC.
I agree. I think Wisconsin's had a great run. Their point guard's had a great career. They're going down. So I'm taking.
I think that game's going over, by the way, too. Like that's the line is 137 is silly. I think UNC is going to put up 75-80.
Give me Houston minus 20 against Cleveland State. I watched them dismantle Cincinnati. By the way, what happened to Cincinnati's program today? What the fuck? Did you see this today?
No, I did not.
Dude, they have 4 players in their active roster right now. 3 dudes transferred, like 4 quit. I don't know. That's what Houston did to them. And what do you think they're going to do to Cleveland State? So give me Houston minus 20. I got. No analysis.
I mean, Houston is legitimately an elite defensive team. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't done a ton of research into Cleveland State because this is just – Cleveland State's one of those teams. They were really good in the Horizon League this year. They was like them and Wright State all year. I have a feeling that Houston just wipes the floor with them. To me, 20 is not enough. I agree with you, Joe. I lean that side. All right. North Texas, Purdue. Obviously, you know, I think Purdue is going to win this game because I have them making the Final Four, which is probably going to go terribly, terribly wrong when Purdue loses tomorrow. That being said, I think that North Texas is one of those dogs that's not really being talked about enough that does need to be talked about in terms of the actual spread. Opened at 8, down to 7.5, pretty much lack of movement there. Purdue lost a good Ohio State team, and again, if that game is 20 seconds longer, Ohio State wins that game. We've talked about that all season. I think Purdue has been so much better on the road than we expected, especially after early on in the season. They struggled early on in the season on the road, lost at Iowa, lost at Rutgers, lost at Illinois. They really picked it up from there. Win at Michigan State, win at Ohio State. They lost at Maryland by 1, lost at Minnesota by 3 when Minnesota was beating everyone, beat Nebraska, beat Penn State. Like, they really picked up the road play, and obviously Purdue has always been known for playing, you know, very well at home. I just think that people are sleeping on them. They're fourth in the Big Ten, which we obviously know is a really good conference. You know, they've been a really good team all year. I just feel like they're getting, not a lot of people are talking about them. That being said, the Mean Green in North Texas are a good team, dude. 17-9 overall. They had to beat some really good teams in the Conference USA to get there. I mean, La Tech is no slouch. They only allowed 48 to them. Beat a Western Kentucky team who, you know, just beat a really good team last night. North Texas is gonna be in this game. I like the spread. I'm not gonna take them to win, but I had to lean North Texas to cover that 7.5, especially early. I think Purdue is gonna get a run for their money.
All right, dude. Moving on. Rutgers, Clemson. I think I'm with you. I'm on Rutgers here. I love the individual effort that that Harper can give. I don't love Clemson. I know Clemson's a good defensive team, but they were so good at home this year. Now you go to a neutral site. I'm also the Big Ten thing versus ACC, I think, should be considered. One thing, Tigers 2-1 all time looking against Rutgers. So, you know, that's in Clemson's favor, but they really haven't played in the last couple of years here. But I don't know. I'm going Rutgers in this one. I think there'll be a lot of love on Clemson. I just think by, like, the regular Joes, you know. So Ron Harper Jr., 16 points per game. He's been averaging 20 of late. Give me Rutgers.
Are you PPing it?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I agreed. I think I PP'd this one Monday. Rutgers -1. It's 1.5 now. I don't think the half point is really going to matter too much, but you know, if you want to wait, feel free. Miles Johnson, to me, you know, he didn't put up the stats this year, but to me, he's going to be the difference inside. You know, 9 rebounds a game, 8.3 points per game. He's a really big advantage for the interior scoring. And Rutgers, not to mention, plays elite perimeter defense. I mean, they're very, very good. I think Clemson, again, the most overrated team in the tournament, shouldn't be a 7 seed. They should be a 9 or 10 seed. You know, I don't think they're going to score enough to stick with Rutgers. And again, the ACC thing, as you just talked about, is a problem. They're a lower-rated ACC team, and I don't know, dude. I really don't feel great about Clemson in this game. I'm very concerned about them. So if you're a Clemson fan, I'd look the fuck out tomorrow. That's all.
I broke this game down with a coworker earlier. Syracuse, San Diego State. San Diego State do play such good defense. They have a point of guard on their team who is shooting 48% from three. 48%.
Oh, is that Shakel? Yeah, Shakel's a ridiculous 3-point.
I was looking it up today, but they've.
I think he's 46.7%.
Whatever, 47%. That's incredible. I just don't. I know Syracuse had. I don't know. I know they're Syracuse. I'm not falling for it. Give me San Diego State. I'm sorry. And you know what? Let's do a little PP because I hate Syracuse people.
My biggest problem is the 2-3 zone. I mean, it just gives these teams nightmares. And if you don't have, you know, a long time to prep for it, I think it's really good. Like, which is why I think, you know, Syracuse may have sucked in the ACC this year, but they may be good against a team, you know, like San Diego State in the Mountain West. I think this is going to be a super defensive game. Like, the total of 139 is really interesting to me. I do think that the total favors Syracuse as well. You look at Buddy Boeheim, if he goes off, dude, look out. If you're San Diego State, I don't know how much they're going to score and how much they can score if they're going to be able to keep up with Cuse, which is silly because I'm not even sure Cuse should be in the tournament, but I think they get by San Diego State. I think they pulled the upset here.
I think we got two live dogs in the nightcap. Moorhead State versus West Virginia. I love Bob Huggins. I think West Virginia are bullies, legit bullies. And they're going to play a team that's smaller than them. But 13 points? I mean, last time I watched West Virginia, they let Oklahoma State just, you know, kids literally run all over them. You know, Morehead State's hot right now. I wish I could give you more on, like, the you would think West Virginia would roll these guys. I just think Morehead State's going to keep it close, man. By the way, Morehead State is a big name. Johnny Broom, 6'10". So they got a big inside as well.
So, I mean, that is my one worry with West Virginia. I actually think that this is going to be one of the – West Virginia might actually have an easy path. Surprisingly, I actually – Morehead State just turns the ball over. They're a terrible turnover team, dude. 332nd in turnover rate in the country. You know, West Virginia can shoot the lights out from three, but they're not great against the three. And that's not exactly something that Morehead State thrives on. So I do think between McBride and Culver that West Virginia will take care of business. In terms of the spread, I actually lean West Virginia, dude. I think this is one that could get ugly. Not that I'm going to play it. I know that Morehead State's really good. This just feels like an app mismatch because Morehead State's going to turn the ball over so much and West Virginia is going to shoot the lights out. And to me, it's concerning. I feel like this one could be 20 plus.
Wow. Drake just hit a three. 21-20, Wichita State. They were down 13.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's game of runs. So good job for Drake. That's going to be a close game.
Ooh, so, guard on Drake is limping.
Yeah. Boy.
Number four. Who is that?
Well, let's see what happens. Final game here, Joe. Winthrop, Villanova. This is going to be one of the most talked about games. I think, of tomorrow, because a lot of people are expecting Winthrop to pull the upset and beat Nova. And I feel like people haven't watched Winthrop at all this year. First in the Big South, 23-1. Unlike Colgate, it's not a fake 23-1 either, because they actually, they actually play. Like, they've actually played some good people and some good teams and kind of everything that's going on there. By the way, I'm trying to find out who number four is for you. That is Hempel.
It's Hempel, yeah.
Oh boy. Okay. So if Hempel's hurt, they're in serious fucking trouble. Hopefully that is not the case, because this has been a really good game so far. Going back to the Villanova game, look, we still don't know the status of Justin Moore. If Justin Moore is playing, I feel a little bit better about taking Nova. So I think I'm going to wait for some clarification on that. Obviously, no Colin Gillespie. That's a massive fucking issue for Villanova. They looked like shit against Providence in Georgetown. They're facing a team in Winthrop who I think is better than Georgetown. This is a legit live dog, as you said. I do think that is very, very possible and very, very out there. You know, the one thing about Winthrop is, how are they going to close the game? Bottom 100 in free throw percentage, which is an issue. A lot of turnover issues, for them as well. I'm interested to see what happens here, but I like Winthrop at seven. I don't think I love it, but I like Winthrop at seven. And the one thing that Winthrop does have going for them, they play with a real high tempo, real fast pace. If Nova can't stick with them, then, you know, scoring wise, then that's where the game is going to get out of control.
I agree with you. I think we are both on the same side of a fade Villanova right now.
I can't back them. I'm not going to fade them. Take them PP or anything, but I'm not going to back them either. So,
wow.
Those are Saturday's games, dude.
Yep. Friday's game. And then Saturday, we got you covered on our morning show. Dude, I just saw the Bears release Kyle Fuller. He's like one of the best, a hell of a corner right there.
Nah, I mean, that would be a nice get for the Patriots if they're looking to trade your boy there, Gilly. But if they cut Fuller, I mean, they said this is Chicago's only cut due to cap space. I would be very much in on them. By the way, it looks like Texas Southern won, correct? Am I correct?
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Texas Southern covered and won and covered.
One and covered, and I hit the second half. Boom,
there you go. Win by it. Yeah, there you go.
Drake minus one second half, down by one. Over/under 72.
I don't love that. I don't love that. I lean the other side just based off the line. That should be Drake at least minus 1.5. But
they're minus 115 if that means anything.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I think that's it. I think we're gonna wrap that up, right?
We had Luke Pregondi. Good show, and I'll download this now, Dan. You can get it out there, and we are back on Saturday morning. We'll discuss every single game on Saturday, and we'll get into Sunday's games as well.
Nice, very very excited. This is gonna be a hell of a day, dude. I could not be more fucking excited for tomorrow. And Saturday morning, we will get you started with literally every fucking game.
Ooh, Drake 1.5, Dan.
Yeah, but it's where the opener is. I care more about the opener than I do about the movement. Still a little bit concerning.
How about the 72 total? It's 21-20 at half.
Yeah, I do. I actually do lean under there, to be honest with you. I do. I don't love it. You know, I think I'm going to stay away from the second half instead of chasing most of these, but I do think that I would lean. That would be the way I would lean. I would lean that way.
All right, dude. Our thanks to Luke Pregondi. Thanks for the 50 people. And we had 90 people at once watching the show today. So I appreciate that. This has been another edition of the DraftKings. Well, the Over Under 985 podcast.
Oh, before we go, I apologize. I know. Big old no no by me. We have to do this for purpose of reasons. But basically, listen, I gave out a pick the other day, but I want to talk to you guys about Better Than Vegas. All right. Better Than Dot Vegas. Basically, it's the YouTube of sports betting, right? You go on, you watch a video. I'm going to post a video tonight of some more plays I like. By the way, I'm going to give a pick that's not on the podcast that has nothing to do. It's going to be an NIT pick. So if you want to go watch that, you're going to have to go to better than dot Vegas. YouTube sports betting. There's a lot of really good cappers on there. I highly, highly suggest you go to betterthan.vegas and take a look at what everything they got going on there. So, all right, Joe, that's
it. He is bankroll boy, Dan Lipschitz. And this has been another edition of the Over Under 985 podcast.
Who you got?
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.